From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The United States Supreme Court this week decided to leave in place a ruling on Pennsylvania's hugely gerrymandered district maps. The Pennsylvania Republican Party's response to the High Court's decision was to launch an impeachment process against those state Supreme Court justices that ruled their state's maps were unconstitutional. The Pennsylvania State Legislature is on a strict mandated timeline to redraw its maps more fairly and democratically, or accept a court-drawn set of maps instead. Now, as battles continue in other states like North Carolina, Ohio, and Wisconsin over Republican gerrymandering ahead of the midterm elections, one expert has uncovered many internal documents from the past decade that outline the GOP's long-term agenda to control state legislatures and engage in aggressive redistricting. That's David Daly, editor-in-chief of Salon, digital media fellow for the Wilson Center for Humanities and the Arts and the Grady School of Journalism at the University of Georgia. His book is Rat Effed, the true story behind the secret plan to steal America's democracy. He just published a piece in Salon entitled How the Republicans Rigged Congress, New Documents Reveal an Untold Story. And he's been on our program to talk about his book before. Welcome back to the show, David.
Thanks again for having me, Sonali.
So how did you get these documents? What did they tell us that we didn't know before?
Well, I think as we head into the 2018 midterm, when so many people are talking about a Democratic blue wave, it is really important to know what the Democrats are up against in all of these states. And by this point in time in the 2000 redistricting cycle, Republicans were already deep into a plan called Red Map, which is short for the Redistricting Majority Project. And this was their redistricting strategy that was designed around winning control of state legislative chambers across the country, especially in swing states like Pennsylvania and Michigan, Ohio, North Carolina, Wisconsin, states that were likely to gain or lose a member of Congress after the 2010 redistricting, and states where Republicans sought to have every seat at the table when the redistricting happened after the 2010 census. And the documents that I've uncovered here involve hundreds and thousands of pages of the Republican PowerPoints that they used when they presented these plans to their donors, the very fundraising pitches that they used trying to raise money for this scheme, their internal emails and documents as the years go on, as they talk about what it is they're trying to pull off in all of these states, the travel schedules, the individual agendas for all of the meetings. This goes back years. It was painstakingly detailed. It was meticulously organized. It was a brilliant strategy. And it is the reason why this closely divided country is under pretty much direct Republican control nationwide in state legislatures, in Congress. And as we head towards these 2018 midterms, these maps in 2012 were strong enough to withstand a Democratic wave. 1.4 million more votes for Democratic U.S. House candidates in 2012. Republicans still held the chamber 234 to 201. If that happens again, if Democrats get more votes and Republicans still control the chamber after 2018, Republicans will control the White House, the Senate, and the House, all with fewer votes. This is a really serious teetering point for the idea of representative democracy.
These documents that you obtained sort of show this timeline, right? That the Republicans presented this bold strategy about 10 years ago, and it succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. Who were some of the players involved? How did they present this to their party? I mean, they've been fairly open. You cite, you know, Karl Rove's Wall Street Journal op-ed, the Red Map, which is their redistricting project, and, you know, has a website. They're pretty open about this. So what was in the documents that was secret?
It's the painstaking detail and it's the meticulous planning for years out that I think is so important to understand here. Politicians have gerrymandered back to the very beginning of the country. Gerrymandering, of course, is the dark art of trying to draw district lines for yourself that advantage you and that disadvantage your opponent. But what the Republicans pull off here is breathtaking in its scope. And when you look at their PowerPoints, you really get a sense of the ambitious nationwide state-by-state plan that they had. There are a lot of people who misunderstand gerrymandering. They think that, you know, both sides do it and it's just sort of part of the system and that geography perhaps matters more than maps. What this shows is just how seriously Republicans took the entire process of redistricting, how they broke down every state, how they sorted all of these states into individual tiers, how they targeted a handful of state legislative races in each of these states as key to controlling not only the state legislatures, but also the U.S. Congress for a decade, and then how they went and took this strategy and brought it to their biggest donors. They bring it to Philip Morris and to Altria and to ExxonMobil and to all of these huge Republican givers and benefactors. And they say, we know that you're really interested in taking back the White House, but what we have to tell you here is that state legislatures are actually the road to controlling more of the country than these big races. And that for $30 million, and this is all red map cost, was $30 million. It's the biggest heist and bargain perhaps in American political history. They were able to convince their donors that these down ballot, tiny races in small states and small towns were just as important as winning control of the White House. And it's something that the Democrats have never understood and got caught completely flat-footed on and have spent this last entire decade trying to catch up with.
So they got a bargain for the donors were able to be, you know, were convinced that they, through small infusions of cash, would get huge change, as you point out, that they sort of, you know, beyond their wildest dreams succeeded. And let's actually just go over for, you know, it's a complicated process. Just remind us very briefly in a nutshell how the mechanics of it work, how control of state legislatures, just by a small majority, can actually rewrite the political landscape states, all across states, and at the congressional level.
This is a really important point. Every 10 years after the U.S. Census, we redraw all of the state legislative and congressional lines in the country. The goal of this is greater fairness. The idea is to be sure that all of the population is equally distributed and everybody has a voice. In reality, this process opens up all kinds of avenues for political subterfuge and behind-the-scenes machinations. What the Republicans understood was that state legislatures play the primary job in drawing not only state legislative lines, but also congressional lines. So in 41 of 50 states back in 2010, state legislatures had the job of drawing their own districts, but also the congressional districts in their state. In some of those states, the governor would play a role. So if you were able to control the state house, the state senate, and the governor's office in some of those states, you would have completely free rein to redraw the entire state any way you would like. So take Wisconsin as a pretty good example. Wisconsin is one of the states that Red Map targets in 2010. Republicans are successful at flipping the House and the Senate there, and they elect Scott Walker governor. Republicans have a big year in 2010 in Wisconsin. What they then do in 2011 is, with the help of amazingly sophisticated new mapping programs and all kinds of big data programs and information that they have about individual voters, is they went and they remapped all of the state assembly districts and all of the state congressional districts.
I mean, ordinarily, these would be efforts that would be sort of individual and, you know, based on state party by state party. What the Republican Party did was have a coherent nationwide strategy that they, you know, tracked all of these things and worked. I mean, it's you have to admire them.
Absolutely admired. It is a brilliant scheme. I mean, it's diabolical in many ways.
That's exactly the word that I was thinking, diabolical.
Right? And just very quickly to finish up on that Wisconsin point is this is how important these lines are. So in the 2012 election, that's the first election that's held under these new lines in Wisconsin. Democrats get 175,000 more votes statewide for the state assembly than Republicans do. But Republicans win 60 of the 99 seats. And this is what happens state by state and across the entire country. You begin to see Democrats getting more votes and Republicans holding more seats. And if you look at these swing states, if you take five swing states, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, and Michigan, we think of these as closely divided purplish states. They send to Washington right now 49 Republicans and 20 Democrats, and the Democrats have not flipped a single seat blue in any of those states on these maps this decade.
Despite the fact that more voters in some of these states are voting for Democrats.
Yes, despite the fact that Democrats often get more votes, Republicans have kept control. They have wiped away the idea of swing states and swing seats in these states. And it is, in many cases, they have veto-proof supermajorities in state legislatures and swing states, even with fewer votes. And it leads to a real distortion in representation. It makes politicians insulated from the ballot box, and it allows them to enact extreme legislation in places like North Carolina, Wisconsin, Michigan, that would never otherwise survive a voter scrutiny.
Right. I mean, the ripple effect is huge. You know, they appoint judges, which then in turn affect court cases and jurisprudence. And I mean, it's pretty incredible. And in fact, to see the Pennsylvania Republican Party's strategy to impeach their Democratic state Supreme Court justices because of the decision on gerrymandering, instead of complying with the court order, is pretty remarkable. After this national Supreme, the highest court in the nation, the U.S. Supreme Court, allowed the Pennsylvania state court decision to stay in place, they're just simply going to try to impeach their state justices. So the stakes are pretty high for 2018, for this fall, because there is a lot of talk of a massive backlash to Trump, to the Republican Party as a whole. The question is, will the gerrymandering stand in 2018? And if it does, will it be enough to withstand voters moving to the Democratic Party? In which case, you know, we're not talking just about a democracy being undermined. We're talking about a broken democracy.
Great questions and a great point. I mean, if you look at Virginia in 2017, Democrats gained 16 seats in the House of Delegates. And no one thought that they could gain that many seats. But they still, despite winning almost 225,000 more votes in Virginia, Republicans still hold control of the House of Delegates. So Democrats got hundreds of thousands more votes. They came close. Republicans still hold control. And that is why Republicans have fought so hard to keep control of these maps. It's why you see the kinds of things you are right now in Pennsylvania, where these politicians are fighting very, very hard to keep control of this process because they know just how important the maps are to Republicans keeping control in all of these states.
So can the Democrats, besides relying on the courts to make decisions on this, Democrats have certainly taken up this issue as well. Obama and former Attorney General Eric Holder, indicated that they would be engaged in Democratic efforts on to address gerrymandering and redistricting. The question is, of course, nobody really wants any party to do what the Republican Party did, because in general, it's simply undemocratic. So does it make sense for the Democratic Party to just do their version of what the Republican Party has done, or are they actually trying to do something different?
No, I mean, that would be horrible. It's bad for democracy when politicians get to draw their own lines, to choose their own voters. And John Adams talked about how these legislatures ought to be a representative of the people in miniature. What we have right now is so far from that. I mean, a state legislative and the U.S. Congress, it's supposed to be our closest level of representation that we have. And the trouble with gerrymandering and with the new technology that's available for politicians to draw these durable lines that last for a decade is that the only election that matters is the zero-year election when the census happens, and then politicians have been able to keep control for the course of the next decade on these maps. And it is a terrible idea. There are states that have gone for independent commissions, some of which have worked, some of which have not worked. The idea of a bipartisan commission simply allows both parties to sort of treat the gerrymandering process as kind of an incumbent protection racket, and that's not a good idea either. We have to think about the kind of serious structural reform that is able to fix what is a broken democracy.
What about the Supreme Court? We know that the Supreme Court has affirmed the state Supreme Court's decision in Pennsylvania, but what about some of the other states where gerrymandered cases were up, Wisconsin and Ohio? As far as you can tell, is the Supreme Court leaning one way or another? Because wouldn't a decision by the Supreme Court definitively end this practice if they were to rule against what the Republican Party does?
It's really complicated. There are a number of cases making their way through the court system right now. The two that are at the Supreme Court is a case from Wisconsin that has to do with the state assembly map that we discussed earlier in the show. There's also a case from Maryland, which is the best example of a Democratic gerrymander in this last cycle. Democrats essentially stole a congressional district there. The court will hear oral arguments on that case, which is called Benesek v. Lamone, at the end of March. So my sense is that there will be a ruling in both the Wisconsin cases and the Maryland case by the end of June at the absolute latest. Now, what kind of remedy the court will come up with remains in question. We don't even know if the court will rule against the idea of gerrymandering. They have never in the history of the court been willing to come down with a constitutional standard that reins it in or limits the right of politicians to do this. We have every indication right now that Justice Kennedy, who is the swing voter on this, remains very interested in finding a solution. And I think that he probably will join the four liberal justices in finding some kind of a solution. But what that will be and how it will affect 2018 remains to be seen. The outcome of the cases in Wisconsin and Maryland will then have a trickle-down effect on the North Carolina map, which a lower federal court has ordered completely redrawn in time for 2018, as well as on Texas. So there is a lot up in the air as we head towards 2018 and get even closer to the midterms.
Well, David, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your article in Salon from our website later. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
David Daly is the editor-in-chief of Salon, a digital media fellow for the Wilson Center for Humanities and the Arts and the Grady School of Journalism at the University of Georgia. His book is called Rat F to the True Story Behind the Secret Plan to Steal America's Democracy. And we've been discussing his new piece in Salon entitled How the Republicans Rigged Congress. New documents reveal an untold story. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo. Thank you so much.